I can kind of give you an update of where I'm at.
Okay.
Maybe it'll be lead to something relevant for somebody else. I hope so.
Yeah, I'm sure. We all always learn from each other. So, okay. So anyway, I will start us off officially. It's just Deanna and I here right now. We had a kind of mess up yesterday and we're missing a few people. So right now Deanna's here and I'm hoping a couple other people join us, but this is our kind of supplemental session six. And we'll just do part two of session six. So Deanna and I are just going to start chatting and then we'll see where it goes. So Deanna, why don't you just do a check-in for me where you are with everything? Oh, here comes somebody. Hello? Is that Deborah? Deborah, is that you?
Her microphone is muted, it looks
like. Yeah, well, now she went away. Something was wrong. So anyway, why don't you just start doing a check-in with me, and we'll see if she shows back up.
Okay. Well, I think what I'm experiencing is maybe another, yet another play on the author of change concept, which is... I have been, well, you know, this whole conversation for me started off with a book and wanting to write and then going through your lessons and, you know, realizing, well, you have to be, play all these different, wear all these different hats. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not only the writer, but the manager, the PR person has to show up. And what I'm experiencing is just my, I really, how can I say it? Oh, well, it's been good to clarify what kind of work I want to do and that this book aligns with, you know, just clarifying my values, my purpose, what I want the book to lead me into. And it's also really making it clear that my current work just has to change. It really, really does. And so I'm finding that the change is sort of creating this sort of ripple effect from a totally different direction than I was expecting. I thought I would just be writing and trying to, you know, keep track of that, but I have to deal with some of my work life balance stuff to be able to have the energy to put towards the book project.
Got it.
And it's in the, and yet all this is still relevant because it's helped me clarify where my, like, create a compass for myself. Otherwise, I think it would be very disorienting mm-hmm. and overwhelming. But I'm now able to keep coming back to, like, well, I know what my values are, I know what my purpose is, and you know, and as I go forward, it's like, does this align or not align? It makes things maybe not easy, but it certainly simplifies a lot.
Right. Because when you know what your purpose is, then you can be choosing what's on purpose and what's not on purpose. Right. Mm-hmm. You need, I'm assuming you need your job. And so what it sounds like is you just need to somehow readjust a little bit so that work, regular work, doesn't take over so much of your time and energy, mm-hmm. you can't do what's necessary for the book. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And are you seeing a way to do that, to accomplish that?
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay. So do you have questions about that? Hang on a second. I think, Deborah, is that you? Can't hear you. Can't seem to unmute you. I keep hitting unmute and I can't see you. I can send you an ask to start video note. I don't know whether on your iPhone, well, actually I think on your iPhone you can still have video, but we can't hear you. You have to unmute yourself. But we know that you're here. I heard something vague that said something like Deborah. Anyway, so I'm going to go back to Deanna and hopefully you'll join us. Okay, so did you have questions about that or questions about the assignments or the webinars, any of that?
I really don't. I really don't at this time.
Okay. So are you finding then that the whole process, it sounds like you're finding that the process is useful for you to clarify how you're going to become this author of change, how you're going to create space for that. Is that what I'm hearing from you?
Yeah. Yeah. It's both things. It's like becoming and creating space. Cause that's the other thing I've gotten from your lessons is part of it is about what we do, what actions we take that, you know, lead to this book. But the other part is like who we are, you know, or yeah.
Yeah. Well, it is about choosing who you are, right?
Yeah.
Who you want to be in the world and the impact you want to have beyond just a book, because, you know, for some people it could just be a book. Mm-hmm. And it could be that, you know, that that's really their goal is just the book, that there is no movement or big cause, but really they have a purpose, a personal purpose or soul purpose or whatever you want to call it, to make a difference in some way, even if it's just in individual lives, right? Mm-hmm. But still, there's all the stuff that goes with that. There's the fact that you still have to promote, that you have to, you know, be someone who is a good role model, meaning a leader, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have to be able to be inspiring and motivational and all of that to get people to change. So I don't think it matters really what level the changes, you know, that you want to make. All of what you've been mentioning and what we've been talking about is relevant. Would you agree?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think okay. So. I feel that way.
Good. Okay, so it's Melinda who's joined us. She says, I'm listening to the audio, but driving, so kept on mute. Okay, Melinda, but you can, if you want to unmute and ask a question, why don't you go ahead? Deanna, you don't have a question right now, right? Yeah,
right.
Deanna's kind of talked out at the moment, but I wanted to make sure that those who missed got a chance to ask questions and check in. So even if you just want to just check in, if you feel safe doing that while you drive, Melinda, we're happy to hear your voice and have you join us today. I guess not. Okay, well, just know that you can unmute at any time, Melinda, and say something. We'd be happy to hear how you're doing with everything and see if you have any questions. Okay? So, Deanna, then, where are you with, like, some of your signature stories and things like that? Have you been working on that at all?
I haven't.
Okay. Do you have some idea what stories you would tell that would go along with your movement to get teachers to Europe?
Yeah. Well, not necessarily to Europe, but abroad. I think it was the last time I did this with you, which was a while ago. I mapped all this out. So I do have some signature stories that I would incorporate into, yeah, that I would kind of build off of.
Okay. Is that your phone or is that Melind?
Yeah, that's...
It's like, where was that coming from?
Oh, that must be from me. This is Melind, sorry.
No, you were still muted, but we're happy to hear your voice. You're good.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us how you're doing? You sound clear. I don't know where that noise was coming from.
God knows. Still recovering, so my voice is not perfect. I had a question about how to build the community using articles for magazines. Can you talk about how to apply for magazines for writing articles for them?
Yeah, so writing magazines for articles is an awesome way to build platform. The only problem with it is that your articles are out there in the magazines, either online or, you know, print magazines. And you don't have a way to track how many people are reading it. I mean, you might know that the magazine has 50,000 subscribers, right? And the more often you write for the publication, let's just say it's one publication, the more often you write for them, the more often you're in front of that audience. The only way you could really track what's going on there is if every time you published an article for, you know, if you noticed for the next couple weeks that you actually got people to your mailing list, like, you know, that your website traffic went up, that, you know, maybe there's actually a way in your bio to say, you know, if you go to this link, you know, you'll get this free thing and they sign up for your mailing list. So that's the problem with it, in my mind, is you have to have that direct link somewhere so you can actually see what's happening, or else just watch your traffic. But, and if you're watching your traffic, then you want to make sure that the people who are showing up at your website from your articles are actually signing up for something, so they're getting on your mailing list. But that said, if writing articles is the way you want to go, writing for just one publication probably isn't enough. You probably need to find 3 or 4 or 5 publications willing to take your work on a regular basis so that you, you know, are consistently in front of your audience. The thing that I would be looking for is probably like an, maybe even an online version of a publication, because often those online versions will let you become almost like a columnist. You know, you can have a column of your own and you can be writing on a monthly basis for them. And then you can have live links, you know, that go directly to your website, that kind of thing. You know, oftentimes it just has your name, but you click through to the name and then there might be information. Sometimes there's a bio at the bottom. And so I wouldn't just stick with articles for publications, Melinda. I would also be looking at blogs and how to become a guest blogger on some websites that are on similar topics to your book. Does that make sense, Melinda?
Yeah, it totally makes sense. I mean, in fact, I actually wanted to talk about guest blogging, but it's more like the professional blogs. I mean, the blogs written for professional, engineers or business people. And every article that I'm planning to write, I'm planning to also include my bio along with the link to my blog so that I know there is some way of tracking where the traffic is coming to my website. but that's the only thing that I can think of doing this month. Reaching beyond this, using other social media, I haven't really thought about it. So needed some guidance on how to start with this. I only have a Pinterest presence, a little bit of Twitter, not much. And LinkedIn, I try to keep it separate. I don't know why, but I don't want to include LinkedIn right away.
Okay.
Until I have a following. So.
Okay. So the professional blogs, as you put it, are fine. I mean, those are good. And I would be looking for just any blog that relates to the topic of your book. You haven't been here for a week or so because you had the flu, you said, but remind me again about your book.
So this is about a productivity book for people who are overwhelmed with new reports, new courses, new things to do, new developments that they want to be a part of, but just don't have resources and time and energy to go about it. So it's basically a plan for people to go about how to start and actually execute their plans.
Okay, awesome. So first of all, I don't think there's any reason not to do that on LinkedIn, because there's all those professional people who are overwhelmed. But if you don't want to be there, that's fine.
Yeah.
But I would look for the professional blogs and then keep looking for other blogs. And what you want to do is read them and comment on them and then begin to reach out to the actual blogger there. Make sure that you know whether they have guest posts. You don't want to ask to do a guest post if they don't ever have any, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you want to find the ones where you see that they do have them. Mm-hmm. And you're going to, propose topics. So don't, I get a lot of emails, mostly from people wanting to market, you know, they want a link to sell something. But I get a lot of emails from people saying, you know, can I write for your blog? And they don't ever propose a topic. Or if they do propose a topic, it's something that makes no sense for my site. So don't do that, because it pisses off the blogger. It's like you're asking for something and you haven't even read my website, right?
Yeah, so
make sure you know the site. The same with magazines. You want to make sure that you know their magazines and you can, you know, talk about it intelligently. And so once you have a little bit of a relationship, you know, you've commented, you know, maybe you've emailed the blogger once and said, this is a really great article. You know what I mean? Just make a connection. Then you could ask, can I guest blog for you? Okay. You know, and what you want to say is you want to make sure when you're negotiating that you do have that bio that has the link. But I would suggest, I actually wrote a blog post about this one time, that when you're doing this, that have something at your website that you're giving away and actually share the link for that and say, you know, if you would like this free thing, this free, you know, 5-step plan for getting out of overwhelm, you know, click on this link. If you just want to find out more about me, go to this website. You see what I'm saying? So that they,
yeah,
you actually get them on your mailing list right off the bat. And then in terms of the social media, you want to be sharing all those posts. So you want to share the posts on your own website that you're, you know, your own blog posts, and then any guest posts you do or any articles, anything like that, you want to be sharing them on Twitter, on Pinterest. I mean, hopefully they all have some kind of a picture, and so you can share the picture to Pinterest. But I think for your sort of overwhelmed business person type market, while some of them may be on Pinterest, more of them are going to be on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook. Some may be on Google Plus, but Google Plus is not growing much, you know. So I'm there, but I just post my stuff and I don't engage there at all. Twitter, I'm trying to engage in more because I know some people who are not very tech savvy and didn't really want to do social media who've built huge platforms there really quickly. So I have a platform there, but I don't use it much. You know, I mean, I share material all the time, but I don't engage. And so I'm trying to engage on Twitter more. And I'm sharing on Facebook, not only to my page, but to my profile starting this week. So years ago, all I had was a profile on Facebook and I shared my blog post there. And then I realized that I had friends and family who didn't really care about seeing all these blog posts because I had more than three a week at that time. And so I started my page and I did all of that there. But now with Facebook's new algorithms, it's very hard for pages to get seen unless you're paying a lot of money. And even then, you don't always get seen. So now the advice I'd gotten from other people is share on your Facebook profile and then share it to, you know, from there, share it to your page. But in any case, be sharing on your profile, which is not what I would normally say. Anyway, so that's the idea, is you just want to be sharing all the time the content that you're putting out there. And even the articles, if they are links to the articles online, you want to link to those as well on social media. So that was a long-winded answer, and I don't know if I answered all your question.
Yeah, you did. You did. In fact, do you, as a part of approaching for the articles or the guest post, do you also recommend at this stage to have some sort of a media kit? Like you have, because you're huge. I'm just starting out. I'm not sure what I'm going to write in the media kit.
I don't know. But yeah, you know, make your media kit. You know what? I'm going to make myself a note to share a link to all of you, which it's a media kit package by a PR person that I love. And except like her name just went out of my head. Not Judy Cullens, it doesn't matter. I'll send it to you. I purchased it and it's on my to-do list for now like 9 months to actually go in and use this kit to create an online media kit. Okay, so it's like
what is a media kit?
Excuse me?
What is a media kit?
So a media kit, what I was going to say to Malin, so this will make sense for both of you, but it can be a simple, so let's say you don't have platform yet, right, and you haven't written for publications, you haven't spoken anywhere, none of those things, then your media kit is going to be a really nice headshot. Get a professional headshot done, even if you have to go to Sears, you know, or JCPenney or what, you know what I mean, where you, like, kids get their headshots done. Just go somewhere. You might be able to find somebody who can do some nice shots for you, but in any case, get a nice headshot. That should be there, and it should be downloadable, which these days pretty much everything is, because if you right-click, you can download, right? So, but have a headshot there. Have a bio, okay? A bio that can be used, for instance, for an article, or let's say you speak on a podcast and they want to grab your bio. You're going to send them to your media page, right? And there will be your bio and your headshot. So in the beginning, that might be all that's there. But if you, for instance, have topics related to your books that you could speak about, you might have 3 or 5 topics. And you might even have within those, so let's say you choose 3 topics. You say, or 2 things. You say, I can speak on these 2 topics related to, teaching abroad or getting overwhelm and all of that. You know, so you have 2 topics related to it that you would speak on. And, one may be your main topic, right? Which could be, Malin, for you, maybe it's just how to deal with the overwhelm at work, right? So maybe that's your main one. And then you have one other one that maybe is a subtopic, like how to stay up on education, continuing education, how to not get overwhelmed by that. And then within that, you might have 7 to 10 questions that somebody could ask you. So now what you've done is if somebody, you meet someone who's a podcaster, and they say, hey, I'd really love to interview you. You can say, hey, yeah, great. Let me send you the link to my media kit. And there you will see not only my headshot and my bio, but, the topics I speak about. And there's some questions there too. And if you want to tweak them or you want to do it differently, that's fine. But basically what you've done is made it really easy for them. Right? You also could do, so like if somebody does a webinar for me, for the Nonfiction Writers University, they send me a paragraph. Sometimes 2, that's a description of their talk. And then it'll say, the people who attend will learn whatever, and there'll be like 5 bullet points. We call them takeaways. You could do it that way, where you say, here's the 2 topics I speak about, or 3 topics, or even if it's just 1, and describe it in a paragraph or 2, what you'll do for, make it an enticing, a compelling paragraph or 2 that describes your talk, and 3 to 5 bullet points. This is what people will take away. So any of that could be on the media page, Melind, as you start out. Now,
that's something I think I can pull together. Thank
okay.
you.
And so then let me address the other part of that, which you said, you're small, you haven't done much yet. That's okay, but then as you grow it, so to answer your question, Deanna, as you grow and you begin to do podcasts or radio shows or write articles for publications, whatever it is, you can then list those. So people see where you've been, what you've done, you can have links to...
Oh, like ad scene on something like that, right? Ad
scene. Well, that's great. Yeah, if you can get, if you end up being on some good shows, that's awesome. So, if you go to one of my, if you go to like right... Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on. I don't know who that is. If you go to something like writenonfictionnow.com, I have a very small box that says As Seen On. And it's not like I was seen on NBC or any of those places, but a bunch of well-known blogs in the writing world, right? So that's all there. But yeah, you could definitely have an As Seen On. Or just where you spoke or, where your articles appeared, anything like that works.
Right. Thank you.
Cool. Yeah.
This is helpful. Yeah. I think this is something which is an ongoing thing, like on the welcome page. I keep updating welcome page and about page, something similar to that. It will be updating, right?
Yeah, and so like I really need to go and update my media page, to be honest. I just clicked on it because it actually says if you want to interview me about my new book, The Author Training Manual, which is not my newest book. So I have to change that. But I also subscribe to, and I really highly recommend it, at some point that you actually get that you join expertclick.com. And if you were to go to ninaamir.com and click on the media page, you'll see there's not a lot there right now. That's why I said I really need to use this media kit, which I will share with all of you. I really need to use what she has, because you could also have a press release there that somebody could download, right? There's a lot of things you could have in a media kit. But I joined expertclick.com, and you'll see it says news release wire. I actually haven't been here in so long. Let me click on that, see what happens. It should take you to, yeah, so It's got my blog posts being fed in there. So there's always something new without it just being press releases. I mean, they call them releases, but the actual releases I've put up here are very old. I just clicked on the human potential one. If I go to the writing one, the releases are probably quite old, but they do run my blog posts. And I'm going to tell you why this is good, this whole thing, in just a second. I just have piqued my own curiosity. But if you scroll farther down the page, you'll see where it just says expertclick.com. And if you click on like Nina Amir as human potential speaker, it actually takes you to the same page. They've redone their site. But anyway, the point of this site is this, that here is a place you also can be found by the media. And I can't remember what they cost per month. You can use my name. I'm an affiliate partner with them. Or referral partner, I think they would call it. And if I send you there, you get $100 off. But what it does for you is it every time you syndicate a blog post to the site or you actually post a press release to the site, you will get it gets seen by journalists. So it goes out to something called NexisLexis, which is a whole bunch of journalists all around the world, and they're looking at this feed for stories. The other thing is, let's say there's somebody who's interested in educators, U.S. educators abroad. If, Deanna, you were on the site, and that was, you know, it gives you like 29 or something different categories you can say that you're the expert in, like keywords, basically. And if you are on there for education and teaching abroad or whatever, and a journalist is doing a story on that, and they go there to look for a expert, you would be found there.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. They also have a really great, they have really great Google discoverability. Like, they're highly ranked on Google. And while my blog posts don't show up, if I do a press release with them, it very often will show up in Google. You know, highly ranked. So you could go to somewhere like PR Newswire and put out a press release, you know, about your book or about you or about anything, and pay $200 or more every time you do a press release. But with this, you pay a one-time fee and you can send press releases every day of the week, I think it is. So it's much more, I mean, if you plan on promoting your book in that way, it's a great way to get press releases out. But it's also a nice way to get found by the media if you're using it. So like I said, my blog posts are syndicated through there, but I rarely do a press release, which is a mistake. It's a huge mistake on my part. But I stay with them because I've gotten some good gigs. I got a podcasting job for 2 years. I was with a woman in Australia, and I was on every month with her. And she had over 80,000 listeners in 90 countries.
Whoa.
Yes, it was awesome, right? And I did nothing for it. I mean, I didn't get paid for it, but it was, you know, she found me. I got found one time by The Star magazine, which wasn't so, you know, it was kind of exciting, but they didn't end up using me for the story. And one time I got called by USA America Radio, and they interviewed me about something, and then this little like 30-second spot ran for about 2 weeks, a couple times a day. So yeah, so that was when I was using it more. These days I'm mostly just syndicating my blog posts, but they just contacted me, said, we're charging you for next year. I was like, fine, go right ahead, because I think they're awesome. Plus, if you ever decide to traditionally publish, it's a great platform element to say, I'm on this site and I can send out press releases and reach all these journalists. So anyway, that was sort of an aside, but it's just, it's in my media kit or on my media page. But I will send you all the link to this kit. And yeah, you have to purchase it, but it's, you know, like I said, I bought it and I want to redo mine. So, okay. Other questions?
Not for me.
Okay. Melin, do you have some more?
Media kits.
Okay. Melin, are you still there? Do you have more questions?
No questions. Thank you.
Okay. How are you doing? Well, I know you were sick, Melin, but how are you doing with the homework and all of that? Are you finding everything okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. So no more questions from either one of you? No more discussion? You want to discuss anything? Anything up for you that you're thinking about or? No?
No, thanks.
No. How about you, Melinda? Anything else you want to talk about? Doesn't have to be a question.
No.
No? Okay. So I just wanted to make sure, you know, anyone who missed yesterday got a chance because of the mess up on our scheduling end. The reason for that is very simple, that Ruth, so I had a VA who was who for years now has been doing all my reminders for my courses. But we were using a different mail system. We were using AWeber, and we moved over to ActiveCampaign. And my development team, the people who work with me on my websites and my courses and all that stuff, they did the transition and said, you know, we can do these reminders for you. It's really going to be very simple, and we could do it. And so I said, okay, fine. And it's actually costing me a little less money. And so this is the first month. And they are in England. It isn't a wasn't so much a mistake, but for some reason, every once in a while, when Ruth goes to my calendar, it shows up as the wrong day. Mm-hmm. And we haven't figured out exactly why that's happening. But anyway, and she said she just had it in her head also that our class was on Wednesdays instead of Tuesdays. So anyway, we should have it all fixed. And I apologize for the mistake. But glad that the two of you made it.
It's a good mistake for me. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for having this supplemental session.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah, Deanna said it was good for her too. So, but we're back to schedule next week. So I hope you'll show up, and we'll keep moving forward.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Thanks for being here.
See you.
Bye. Talk to you next week.